Hey! What is up, everybody?
Welcome back to the Mile Higher Podcast.
With Kendall and Josh Ledore, we are back for episode 19.
Oh my gosh.
19. Yeah, we're almost 20 weeks into this bitch.
20 weeks in.
We're almost at episode 20, but today's episode I'm super pumped about because it's going to be interesting and it's going to be mind-boggling and disturbing all at the same time. Yeah. Because today we're picking up on the five families that control the world, essentially. And today we are talking about perhaps the most influential family of them all, the Rockefellers.
And dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, the Rockefellers are very interesting cats. We'll get into that here in a bit. But first, we just want to thank all of you guys for supporting the podcast, all of you that have gone and rated and reviewed on iTunes. Seriously, that's awesome. We appreciate it. It's like up to 3,000 now. Almost wow. 3,000. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's really amazing for only being a few months into this thing. Yeah. So we really appreciate it. We also appreciate all of our patrons that help support the podcast. We weren't monetized for a while. So we really appreciate all your help.
Yes.
And, you know, it helps directly fund this operation, the production of this podcast. So we really do appreciate all of your help, and especially a special thanks to our stellar patrons, who this month are Jocelyn B., Elizabeth B., Rebecca H., Brittany M., Kaylin M., and Selena M. Thank you guys so much. We really do appreciate it. And actually, today's patron question of the week comes from Brittany M. And she asked, hey, my question is, do you think the government will finally release all the information they have on aliens? Because now more and more people are questioning them about it.
Can I go?
Yeah. Please, Kendall Ray, go ahead. What do you
think? I don't think they're just going to finally like release it all. They're like, oh, you caught us. Okay, well, here it is. Here's all the proof. No, I think
absolutely not.
The more people are finding out, then they're obviously like leaking it. And personally, I think that they are slowly leaking information on their own, and that a lot of the information we get has been purposefully slowly led.
Yeah, absolutely.
Came to us, you know,
absolutely. I think it's going to be a very slow rollout.
Yeah,
and I think they're going to do everything they can to control the way that it comes out and in the light that it comes out. You know, because I think that has a big play into the whole scheme of everything, especially when you talk about like the military industrial complex and all of that. And, you know, how the, you know, revealing of extraterrestrial presence on the planet would change that, and how, you know, they may want to use that to their advantage to, you know, possibly strike up another military conflict, this time with extraterrestrials. Because I mean, if you didn't know, they're going to create a space corps. There's going to be an actual space army that is going to be created. It's already been approved. Trump's already approved it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be coming in the future. It makes you start to wonder, like, why are they doing that? And obviously, the answer right now is because all these other countries, which we're going to talk about here in a sec, like China, they're ramping up their space programs, and they're starting to get more and more adventurous as far as their interests in outer space. And I mean, for all we know, there could already be a lot more activity in our solar system and in outer space going on right now. That's just been completely, completely silenced and kept hidden from the public. So I think we're going to see, especially in our lifetime, a lot of interesting things happen with the disclosure of extraterrestrial life. Which, I mean, a lot of people want this to happen like right now. And because it's happening right now, I mean, it's going to happen, I think, slow. In their time frame. But we all want it to happen like now. Because,
well, I think a lot of people think it's going to be like one day they announce it on CNN. Like,
yeah,
there's aliens, right. And then everyone knows.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
It's not going to be like that.
They've already pretty much confirmed that we're not alone. I mean, just with their UFO research program and things like that. I mean, the government's already time and time again acknowledged there is an ET presence. I mean, you look at the quotes from all of the presidents and all of the astronauts, and it's like endless. The amount of evidence that we are not alone is endless. So
people have no idea either. Like, most people are not aware of like all of the quotes of presidents and politicians and huge world leaders talking about UFOs that they've seen or they've heard of.
No, well, it never gets talked about.
Yeah.
It's a lot, though. It's an extreme amount of...
And a lot of astronauts, what is it, like 7?
Oh, it's more than that.
9?
Yeah, it's more than that. I mean, a lot of, you know, almost all of them, it seems like, can confirm sightings of UFOs. And oh others God. Even confirm that they believe there's a, you know, ET presence right now, that, you know, they've been observing us. They've been here since, you know, way back, even thousands of years, or maybe they, you know, a certain race started coming around Roswell and all of that. And I mean, the big thing with like revealing aliens to the world is the technology that goes along with it, the extraterrestrial vehicles, you know, that a lot of us believe that we've already reverse engineered that technology, and the technology is being kept from us
for the
government, military, industrial complexes benefit, because they don't want to move off of fossil fuels. They don't want to utilize anti-gravity and all these other technologies that we already know exist. So it'll be very interesting to see how, you know, this disclosure happens and how soon it will happen. But I'm under the impression that it's going to happen a lot sooner than they want.
Yeah,
because more and more people are interested in this topic. More and more people are looking into it and figuring out the truth and the facts around it. And they're like, what the hell? You know, like, why is this being hidden from us?
I was saying, as I think that it's possible the government has been leaking this information themselves, or like partnering with movie production.
Well, To the Stars is a perfect example.
Right. To the Stars is a great example of that.
Totally, you know, government agent for.
Yeah, they're trying to. You know, it has a bunch of government officials in it, but they're also creating like films and media for people to consume and get the idea of aliens, so that when it does come out, it's not such a foreign idea. So I think they've been slowly releasing things, and I think that it's all happening according to plan. Like, I don't personally think that we're all figuring it out way too fast and they're scared. Like, I think they're like, all right, you know, right now it's still just a select small group of people that believe this, and everyone else thinks they're insane. So, like, we can let that go for a little while.
Right, right.
But, like, it's coming down the pipe, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get to a point where... I mean, it's coming to a point where everybody's going to know the truth about the fact that we're not alone, and they're going to all see, you know, they're going to see the concrete proof that proves this. And, I mean...
I mean, it's so obvious, though. Come on. When you know, if you just know basic science about the universe, like just like the little things about how big it is,
just look at
about
the statistics.
How it's forever expanding. Like, come on. If you really think we're the only ones that sprouted up. Are you serious? It's
There's
so dumb.
Billions.
It's so planets ignorant. Like, it's such a human thing to think like that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a very it's a very one-sided
egotistical
view.
Man, to think we're the only ones on the fucking universe in the universe. What?
Well, it's a control tactic. It's a way to control a group of people by making them think that this is it. You know, that we're the only life that we know of right now. Like,
keeping our world to our world.
Right. Our bubble small. They got to keep it small. Because as soon as we all become like cosmic interstellar travelers and like can fathom, you know, all these planets with
like
life on
years,
it, it's going to completely, they're going to lose control. They're not going to be able to control us, because we're going to be like, all right, we'll go to this planet. Or
And they've kept us focused on our own little world and our own little drama and bullshit between each other. Like, you know, we're going to talk about China's space program in a bit here. And, you know, you just said that they're trying to get to the dark side of the moon. Is that what, didn't you say that earlier?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we're going to talk about is, you know, it's interesting to think about this idea of why has it been literally since the 60s that we went to the moon? Like, why haven't we been back yet is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, no, but I was saying that I think it's odd that we have, like, imagine if we just had one space program. Like, that's how it should be. I'm sure with other planets, they have one program that they're all working together to get off of their one planet.
Sure.
The fact that we're like split up and not combining resources
and
not working together is very weird. And they've done a great job of just making us believe that our whole world is in our Earth and, you know, surrounding area, obviously. But like, the majority of everything going on, we've been led to believe, is going on here.
Right. Anything that really matters to us. They've really painted the moon as just this giant rock floating in outer space that has no value to us whatsoever. Same thing with Mars. They're like, well, maybe there could be life on Mars. Maybe we could colonize there one day. I mean, maybe, but it seems pretty impossible. So we're not even going to try to do anything.
Why does it seem impossible? Oh, my God. God.
I mean, and you can't tell me that, like, we go to the moon in, like, the 60s and then there, that was it. We got it. We figured out exactly what's there.
We never need to go back.
Meanwhile, there's tunnels and everything else inside the moon. Who knows what's going on there?
We haven't gone back since 1973, if I remember right. Somewhere in the early 70s. I can't remember
when the missions ended.
I'm pretty sure it's 73. And that is so long. Like, I don't even think most people know that. You tell people, like, hey, did you know we haven't been to the moon since 1970? And they're like, what? I thought they were going to the moon all the time. Like, I feel like a lot of people just assume that once we went, we just kept going and we're doing new research and stuff. But we just stopped going to the moon completely.
Which just raises all kinds of red flags and questions in your head of, well, why?
Because we need to stop bringing these astronauts here because they're coming back down and telling the truth about what's going on.
Yeah, well, and it's not because of money. Like, let's be real. It's not like they don't have money to do this. They clearly have money to do everything else, but they don't have money to, like, fund space exploration.
Yeah,
like,
come on
now. Seriously.
Good God. We spend so much just on, like, securing Trump's family every day because he has such a huge family, making sure they're all safe. If we put just like a fraction of that, like a month's worth of that towards
we could probably go to like Saturn or something.
Yeah.
We could like go far. Well, that's the thing is just like it's hard to believe that we haven't been back. And, you know, what the hell has NASA been up to? Like, I mean, they're obviously still sending things into space and, you know, we're all obsessed with the International Space Station, which is great. Cool. You know, we're orbiting our planet, you know, looking at shit, taking pictures. I mean, what could they possibly be doing that's like groundbreaking on, you know, the International Space Station? Like, how many years is going to go by that we just keep sending people to the space station? Yeah. And first of all, the space station is on its way out, by the way. It's losing all of its funding. So, what we'll talk about here, because China is really trying to ramp up their space program. And a year ago, they made this announcement, which we're going to talk about some of the updates with this, is that this year, 2018, China is planning to land a lunar rover on the far side of the moon, or some people call it the dark side of the moon.
On the dark side of the moon.
Exactly. Because we've never seen what's on the other side. Yeah. We've never been to the other side of the moon. So
no, and it's like, God, can you imagine? If I were an alien race and I wanted to spy on humans or have like a nice little base that I could like get back and forth quickly between Earth and outer space, I'd set up on the other side of the moon. Like, they can't see us from here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually really smart. Spot. I'm surprised. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm doing Hitler conspiracies this week on my channel. And there's a lot of theories that Hitler actually has a base on the moon. And, like, the Nazis have a base on the dark side.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that believe there's some sort of operations center on the moon called the LOC, Lunar Operation Command or something. There's a lot of people think there's actual hub on the moon somewhere, whether it's the far side or possibly even within it. Because if you think about it, it's a giant piece of rock. Why wouldn't there be tunnels? Why couldn't there be underground caverns just like there is here on this planet? Mm. So it would be very, very easy for, you know, some sort of civilization to hide itself on the moon, whether it's on the far side or within it. So it'll be super interesting to see what they find when they land something there. They like land there.
What if that is like the way that they end up revealing aliens to people? Like, the Chinese went to the other side of the moon and guess what they fucking found, guys? We had no idea. There are aliens. They're here.
That'd be so funny. There's just like little flying saucers everywhere and there's beings walking around, little short beings.
So this is just the first step. How long is it going to take them
to do this? Well, it's happening this year, because what just happened recently, the space power, the Chinese space program launched a relay satellite early Monday of this week in order to set up a communication link between the Earth and the country's lunar probe so that they can communicate back and forth between it. So they announced that they did that this Monday, and this launch of this satellite is a key step in order for China to make this goal of being the first country to send a probe to soft land and rove on the far side of the moon. So they first announced that they were going to do this in 2015. And the idea is to have the Chang'e 4 lunar probe touch down on the far side of the moon. And we don't know exactly when the launch is going to occur, but they are saying that it should. The launch of the actual lunar probe should take place later this year.
Hmm.
So the satellite that they sent up is called Qcow. That's probably not how you say it, but
wait.
Q, it's like Q. I mean, I don't
Quaco?
Know.
Quake.
Quakewow.
It's K- like. Keiko?
No, that's it's
Q U E, like K.
Q I A O.
Q I A O.
Is the name of this Chinese rocket that blasted off before 5:30 a.m. on Monday morning.
That means, Matt, just for future reference, that means Magpie Bridge in Chinese.
Hmm.
Magpie Bridge. Why are they calling the rocket
Magpie Bridge? Well, I guess it's kind of a bridge between.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's bridging the communication between the probe and the Earth.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, keep going.
So the satellite separated from its rocket 25 minutes after liftoff, and then it entered a transfer orbit between the Earth and the Moon with its solar panels and communication antennas successfully unfolded. So it sounds like mission success. They've got the actual communication probe in place. But it sounds like the mission still is facing a bunch of challenges, according to the project manager, including multiple adjustments to its final orbit, breaking near the moon, and taking advantage of lunar gravity. I was going to say, I mean, when you think about trying to land something on the surface of another object in space, it seems like you just shoot it straight at it, and then you drop it. Yeah. Just hits the planet and drops on it. But it's actually got to launch, go over it.
Yeah, especially
go over to the far side and then land.
And then go back, start going backwards.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
And I mean, if you think about it, that's definitely takes some technology to pull that off.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and it hasn't really been done. Like, obviously, that type of landing, at least not on the moon. So it's got to be kind of nerve wracking. God, I swear, man, it would be so nerve wracking to be one of those NASA people or someone who's like really has their ass on the line for a successful launch and then having to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the stress. Like, I don't know if you guys saw my video where I showed a clip of when the Columbia exploded. Yeah. Like, the dude was starting crying. So, yeah. Like, it was just like the pressure. It's insane. Imagine if you were the first one operating this mission to land on the other side of the moon. That'd be a little stressful.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Seriously. It's what's interesting to me, though, is that a little while ago, Trump did make a bunch of like claims that he was going to like push space exploration forward and they're going to go back to the moon and all this and that. And then literally as things got closer to making things happen, it completely got shut down. Like all of our space hopes and dreams for the near future got completely shut down.
Yeah. And that's what happens with every politician. They say things and then they get into power and realize, oh shit, I don't have nearly as much control of this as I thought I did.
And they're saying it's because of budgetary constraints, which is just like,
sure, dude.
That's such a lame excuse.
Whatever. Because you guys know where that budget's new money. Going. They print new money all the time. Just kidding. I don't know how that works, but.
But China's right now trying to overtake the world as the number one superpower.
Dude, and they're going to.
They're going to.
They are going
to. I mean,
to.
It's inevitable at this point. I mean, they're smart in the sense that they know what to invest their money into. They're probably not investing it into all of these foreign interests and wars and military like we are. They're investing it into things that are important like space travel, because they're actually planning to launch its first Mars probe around 2020 to carry out orbiting and a roving exploration, as well as a second mission that would include collection of surface samples from the Red Planet.
God.
Because, their overall goal is that by 2030, they'll be among the major space powers of the world. Because right now, I mean, for a long time, it's been Russia, it's been the U.S., but really, it's been very quiet when it comes to space exploration lately, and it's very curious as to why. You would think that, because if you look at the technology that took astronauts to the moon in the 60s and 70s, and you think about where it could be right now, it's like, why the hell are we not like going to the moon on a regular basis?
At this point, it should be like a quick mission. That's
seriously.
Routine, standard. We should have something set up on the moon. The fact that we don't have a moon base set up is weird.
Officially, like, declared, like, moon base. Yeah.
Why don't we have that? That seems like something America would want to do. Like, there's a space to be conquered. Let's conquer it.
Well, maybe they've done it, and it's all been kept secret so that they can do whatever the hell they want to do with it.
Probably.
Without the American public even letting that cross their minds. I mean, That's the thing about this whole fucking thing is they're definitely doing stuff like this. It's just totally being kept in the dark from the public so that they can do whatever their agendas are and do whatever they want to do without us knowing.
Yeah.
Because what's the benefit of us knowing that there's a base on the moon? Absolutely nothing, really, at the end of the day. So very interesting, though. We'll see what happens with China, and we'll see what comes up when they land on the far side of the moon. That'll be super interesting.
I'm really excited.
Hopefully it'll be in like 4K live stream.
Yeah. If they live stream the fucking lunar landing in the 60s, people, they live stream that shit. That's unreal. From the fucking moon. That's unreal. So yeah, I agree. If China's going, they are always like very forward in technology. I better get a 4K.
It better be virtual reality recording.
Like, seriously.
I mean, seriously, let's hope that it's not grainy, shitty footage that looks like it was made in a studio, Hollywood studio.
Well,
somewhere.
Maybe that's why they stopped sending people to the moon. They knew like technology is eventually going to get better and people are going to be like, yo, why does this still look so shitty and grainy and hard to see? They'd probably have to keep putting out like crappy pictures.
Or I think that honestly, a big reason is because there's literally an extraterrestrial presence that is going to be shown. Like if they've live streamed everything.
Shitty pictures and shitty video.
Right. Or they just straight up fake it in a studio. They don't even do it where they said they do it.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I think they've been to the moon. I just think I know for a fact some of those photos are faked, though. They are. There's evidence that some of the photos were faked or taken in a studio. Yeah,
and some of the footage looks pretty fucking...
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Sketchy to me.
It's pretty bad.
Well, if that doesn't make you make you rethink your life, here's another thing you got to be worried about. Your Amazon Alexa, okay?
Oh, I'm so glad
artificial
we don't have
intelligence.
That.
Oh, I know. I've returned it. I bought one and then I returned it because I was like, nope, not letting this thing in my house. And thank fucking God, because these Amazon Alexa devices are not your friends. Because 2 weeks ago, a woman in Portland learned that her Amazon Echo device had recorded and sent a private conversation between her and her husband to one of his employees in Seattle without their knowledge.
What?
So Amazon Alexa was in the area where they were talking. And they weren't talking about anything crazy. They're actually talking about hardwood floors. But according to Amazon, Alexa apparently misunderstood their discussion about hardwood floors as a series of commands to send their conversation to the man in Seattle.
What?
Yeah, apparently Amazon said that the Echo device woke up due to a word in the background conversation sounding like Alexa.
Yeah, well, obviously that's going to happen. That happens like with Siri all the time.
But the fact that then the subsequent conversation that was heard by Alexa was heard as a send message request, at which point Alexa said out loud to whom, at which point the background conversation was interpreted as a name in the customer's contact list.
So they can like see the transcript of what happened.
Yeah, they can look at the logs. Yeah, they have logs of what it says. Alexa then asks out loud, contact name, right? Alexa then interpreted the background conversation as right. As unlikely as this string of events is, we're evaluating options to make this case even less likely, Amazon told Ars Technica when they were asked about what they found in these device logs. But apparently the woman in Portland claimed that the Echo never audibly confirmed it was going to send the recording.
And isn't it supposed to say, are you ready for me to send
this? And they swear by this. They swear they didn't hear it ask this or ask any of these things and that it just did this without asking. God. And it's not a good thought to think that Alexa can just mishear you having a conversation about flooring and then make four consecutive commands based upon what it thinks it hears and just does it. You know, that's what's so crazy about it.
Well, okay. So it seems that to be in this modern world, you pretty much are surrounded by these listening devices everywhere. Like we have these devices with access to the microphone that is just listening in the background all the time. So even if you turn it off on your like Siri or something, in the future, like you said, we're probably gonna have like robots. We're gonna have like a chef, and you know, you're gonna have to talk to them and they're gonna be listening. So it's like, where are we gonna draw the line? Because we're returning Alexa right now, but are you never gonna get a robot? Because I know you're gonna want that robot.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why a lot of people, like, when they heard this story, was like, this is some Black Mirror shit right here. Like, this is some, like, this is a future futuristic scenario that's played out on an episode of Black Mirror for sure. Because it illustrates this real life privacy nightmare when you're bringing voice assistants into your home. Because with any internet connected technology, smart speakers like the Amazon Echo and the Google Home
Siri
present consumers with this issue of trading privacy for convenience. So would you rather have the convenience of having these devices and artificial intelligence doing these tasks for you? Or are you going to be on the privacy side and you're worried that your privacy is in jeopardy because these devices are listening to you? So it's going to be a choice of which one is, you know, which one do you want? You want more? Do you want privacy or do you want the convenience that these devices can offer?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It seems like you can't really like have it both ways.
Right. Because these devices record your commands in order to train their voice software to understand commands better.
And it's like, come on, as technology gets better over time, there's going to be more and more of these things around. They're going to be in public places, listening to you in the bathroom. Like, there's going to be everywhere. There's going to be iPads in the walls. And like, people don't realize how crazy it's going to get. It's going to be so, everything's going to be so advanced and so new. And everything's going to have these little speakers because people like doing the voice thing. Even with our TV, like, we have DirecTV now, but we used to have Comcast and it had a voice remote. And I really miss the voice remote because it's nice. Like, people like being able to just say something, give a command, and it does it. It's very convenient, right? And it makes you feel like kind of fancy and high tech. So this isn't going away. People aren't going to stop buying these devices because they're worried about them listening. Soon it's going to get to the point where everyone has them.
No.
And you can't really avoid it.
Because most people aren't like really paranoid about people listening to them or their, you know, information being recorded. Because I think the unfortunate truth is that all, you know, no matter if you use the internet at all, you're at risk of your information being tracked and recorded in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, to really be paranoid that these types of devices like Amazon Alexa or Google Home are recording, you know, your voice and things that you say is, you know, really at the end of the day, no different than what you search into Google and what you search on the internet and things like that. So, you know, I think there's definitely a trade-off because it's like, there's definitely cons to, you know, having your privacy invaded and having all these, basically everything you say around this device recorded because it's listening to you, in order to make itself smarter. But I think it's just inevitable. I don't think there's really any way to stop this from happening. And yeah. I mean, Google and Amazon, they actually hold a number of patents that enables them to collect data from the voice commands, and it allows them to analyze it and do anything from making a judgment about a child's level of mischief to gauging a person's mood in order to personalize content or target ads.
Yeah,
because that's
ad thing is a big deal, dude.
Right.
Listen, have you ever had that happen to you when you're like talking to your friend about something or talking about smoothies and then a Jamba Juice commercial pops up on your Instagram? You're like, I didn't type that. I said that. This thing is fucking listening to me. Our phones listen to what we're doing. It is really, really creepy.
Just the same way that your computer looks like gets cookies, and those cookies then give you the content that you're searching for based on, you see the ads everywhere
you go. You're like, I was looking at Monk on Instagram. Yeah. Now it's on my Facebook.
Now I'm hit with Monk ads.
Yep. Yeah, it's really smart.
It's getting smarter and smarter.
And this is all just, you know, merging with the singularity because people are not going to stop using these devices.
No.
I guarantee you.
No.
They're like, whatever. Privacy, schmivacy.
Yeah.
Might as well have this robot do everything for me by being able to talk to it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I don't care as much that my stuff's being recorded as much as I care about my private personal information being shared. You know, like the whole breach with Facebook was a complete disaster because that's a lot of people's personal information. And I care more about that than I care about, you know, Alexa overhearing me talk about, you know, the stains in my shirt and how I might need to get some Clorox bleach in order to get the stains out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only reason Alexa's even listening to me say that is because it's going to serve me with an ad for Clorox. And Amazon's actually working on this right now. I don't think it's in place with Alexa devices right now, but pretty soon, I mean, it's going to, you know, if you say something that you need or, you know, you're talking about something specific, then Alexa's gonna be like, hey, did you know that there's this place nearby that you can buy this or you can go do this? I mean, I think that's inevitable. And these personal, I mean, I just did a video on my channel actually about Google's new AI home assistant.
Yes, you did.
And that's wild, man. That thing.
That freaked me out.
It's just like a human. It's indistinguishable from a human when you talk to it.
Yeah.
Imagine telling your assistant to, hey, can you call blah, blah, blah and get an appointment or blah, blah, blah. Can you, you know, contact, you know, this restaurant and reserve a table for me then? And the fact that this AI is already at this level of being indistinguishable from a human is just absolutely mind-boggling. It's crazy. And it's only 2018. So imagine 2050, like, dude, where shit's going to be.
I know. So crazy.
It's going to be in such a crazy place. But I just wanted to talk about that because that was a sort of a hot topic in the news this week. And a lot of people were wondering about this Amazon Alexa issue, as well as the new Google AI assistant. So very, very interesting stuff. But today, let's talk about the Rockefeller family conspiracy. Oh my God. So, so interesting. And in episode 18, we talked about the Rothschild family, which is also one of the five main families that control the world. There is actually probably a lot more families involved, a lot more bloodlines involved, but we're going to cover at least the main five that have had perhaps the biggest impact on the structure of this country and the systems that are in place. And what's really interesting when you start looking at the Rockefeller family is how often they are mentioned alongside the Rothschilds. Like the two are very, very connected and intertwined. And when people think about Illuminati or, you know, elite families that run the world, many people immediately go to Rothschilds, Rockefellers.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to cover them next, is because they are very, very involved with the way everything
is. I even remember reading about them and taking notes off them out of my like school history book.
Yeah. I mean, and the Rockefellers are actually one that I remember hearing about, but I definitely only heard them in a positive light and only in a light that is a, you know, that they base, you know, they were businessmen and they did all of these things for our country and for the banking system. But today we're going to dig into some of the little known facts about the Rockefeller family. So first, let's talk a little bit about the history of the Rockefellers' business empire. So the Rockefellers made their wealth through John D. Rockefeller and his foundation of the company Standard Oil, which is essentially what brought about the many fortunes to the Rockefeller dynasty. They are the oil kingpins. They are the oil masters. They essentially control the oil in the entire world from the very beginning, from the late 1800s into the 1900s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, owning Standard Oil, that was such a huge thing. That was really what secured it
for them. Right. And they started, so John D. Rockefeller he's not the oldest. His father is named William, but John is kind of where everything started. Because,
isn't it John Davidson Rockefeller?
Yeah.
Davidson?
Yeah. So John D. Rockefeller started Standard Oil Company in 1870, and he was actually the world's first billionaire.
Because he monopolized it. Like, this was back before, like, when you could do that. Like, just cheat the system, buy everything up, and own the business. And
right.
He basically owned oil. There was no chance for, like, the little guy to make it in the
business. No, he owned all the oil and controlled all the oil throughout the entire world.
And they still do today, pretty much.
And there's actually a lot of rumors around how their actual dynasty actually started. And apparently he kind of got started by selling prohibited alcohol to Union soldiers. He originally started out owning a whiskey distillery, which is interesting. So he controlled that market as well. But John D. Rockefeller was David Rockefeller's grandfather, and John actually died in 1937. And David Rockefeller is the one that is perhaps the most infamous of them all, and the person that many of us think of when we think of the Rockefeller family.
Mm-hmm.
Because David, he used his money and his wealth that he got from his father in order to help create and fund the Federal Reserve along with the Rothschilds family. And this gave these two families the ability to print money out of thin air. Because that's...
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier.
Right. Because the Federal Reserve is a private entity and they essentially can print money whenever they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't. And it like ruins the value of the dollar and all this shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty crazy. But this, by doing this, has put them well above the U.S. government in terms of power and influence. And this move allowed them to gain power over the government and the people via a rigged financial system. And this is a historical event that is really never talked about in school. No. I mean, I don't remember hearing about this in school at all, or even about Standard Oil or anything. No,
and you think that would be like basic 101. We learn about the, you know, about the government, the economy, the way the system works. We touch on the Federal Reserve, but not like this. And I feel like I didn't ever hear, and you know, guys, the Federal Reserve is actually owned by these two rich families, not even the government. It's private. No one ever said that shit. That's a pretty important detail that people really think all our money is coming from the government, and it's not.
I bet if we went to a high school today and just went around asking people, like, do you think the Federal Reserve is government?
Who owns the Federal Reserve?
Right. Who owns the Federal Reserve? What would people say?
They would say,
probably the federal government.
Donald Trump? Yeah, him. He gets to control it.
They'd say the government, though. That's what people would say, is the government. They wouldn't say these private corporations. No, and
definitely
private...
not some family.
Absolutely not.
It's pretty shocking when you figure that out. I mean, God, that's one of the things that really hit me that I've learned this year, actually. It's only been like about a year that I learned about the Federal Reserve, and wow, did it open my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Because
I was like, holy shit.
If there's anything that will shatter the illusion of this country and the systems that are in place, it's learning about the banking system, the monetary system, the way that the financial aspect of our country is
how we
is
just
controlled.
Get screwed over and over and over. And if you want to know more about this, I highly recommend watching Thrive. It's free on YouTube. THRIVE, Thrive.
Thrive Movement.
Really incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes into a lot of the detail about the formation of the Federal Reserve and how the system's completely rigged and how money has
screwed.
No value.
Interest is bullshit. Like everything is. It is so eye-opening, truly.
It is. So the Rockefellers, after the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, so this is actually shortly before the creation of the Federal Reserve. In 1911, the Supreme Court actually realized that, oh shit, the Standard Oil has a complete monopoly over the entire oil business, and this is a huge problem, obviously.
So
antitrust legislation actually forced the breakup of Standard Oil into various oil companies we recognize today. So you're like, oh, okay, well, it got broken up, so that's good. You know, they're not going to have the same control or power over this industry.
But guess what?
Wrong-o.
Wrong-o. It's all still owned by them. It was all broken into little companies that is still owned by them. So nothing.
Check
they
this.
Still have the monopoly.
Check this, yeah.
All right, check it.
So from Standard Oil, they basically broke apart and then formed into the companies that we know today as ExxonMobil, which is the world's most profitable company on the planet, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, BP, Amoco, and actually four out of the six super majors in the oil industry are direct Rockefeller spinoffs, which is BP, Chevron, ExxonMobil, and ConocoPhillips, which are basically all the biggest ones, are still direct Rockefeller.
So they still have a monopoly. It's so funny. Like, as we're reading this stuff, I am having such a flashback of my history class because I was taught by, remember, Mr. Eskew? I loved him. He's my favorite history teacher. And I remember him explaining this stuff, but it was so, like, different. Like, we talked about monopolies and how they broke up the monopolies and we moved on, like, a stronger economy. It wasn't like... But they were all bought by the same dude. It was just like they were broken up.
They just were
up.
The company. It just wasn't one company. They just broke it into six, but it's still owned by
so
the majority of it's
still owned.
So the
average person doesn't know the details behind that stuff,
no.
And they won't look. So it looks like it's not a monopoly, but
right.
It is.
Right. They're
like
telling
things.
Us. Yeah, it's exactly like most things. Never, like, hey, we did this for your benefit, so you should be good. No need to worry. We took care of it. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, I mean, and they've gotten way more stinky now, because now, you know, you can go look and see who runs these companies. You can actually do a lot more research on this than you could at in, you know, the early 1900s. Yeah. So it was still way easier for them to get away with owning these companies, even though it wasn't their, you know, one standard oil that they started.
Right. Yeah.
So clearly these companies never really broke apart. And since oil prices at the time were skyrocketing, and these families were grabbing control of the money supply, John D. Rockefeller quickly had the U.S. government in his pocket, and he was free to manipulate the society because he had control over the most worshipped resource on the planet, which is money. So he had oil,
and he had banking. That only cares. We have become a society that only cares about money, which, you know, the actual dollar has no physical value to it. And it's like, it's so sad. And how do you control the world? Control the one thing that everyone's worried about, and the one thing everyone's chasing, the one thing people obsess over, and that's money.
And why did we have to have money in the first place?
We didn't. Like,
we didn't. We never needed it. It was a man-made thing. Why did we need this man-made?
Yes.
This valued op. It's because it allows control. It allows an individual or group to take control over others by forcing them to be a slave to this.
Have
thing.
This little system, yeah. Because it. I mean. A long time ago, before this type of stuff was set up, like tribes, old tribes and stuff, they functioned in small groups, small right. areas. They, you know, lived small. Obviously, they didn't like explore the rest of the world, but they shared everything within that little group. So everyone had what they needed. There was a medic. There was a hunter, the gatherer. You know, people just worked together. And it's not about equal and fairness and making sure everything's even and me having more than you and that family has more than everyone else. It was not like that. It's like, we are all one. We are all a family as the human race, and, you know, we support each other. And that mindset is gone.
It's completely gone. It's every man for himself. It's dog eat dog world.
They've trained us, though. Like, in a way, it's not even our fault. We're so far from our own roots that we, like, have lost the true meaning
Seriously,
of life.
If you ever get a chance, go sit down with the Aboriginals and they will
God.
They will blow your mind, because they've been living, they're the oldest known group of people on the planet. And they've been, the way they've been living is the same way they've been living for thousands of years.
And they're
now.
So happy. Like, people think of like people in tribes with like, you know, they don't have a lot of money, that they're unhappy. That
right.
They're miserable.
Yeah.
They wish they were in America, but they don't, dude. They're so happy. They're the happiest people I've ever met. Josh and I had the privilege of sitting down with an Aboriginal man, a real Aboriginal man who played us. I can't remember the name of that instrument. It's like this big wooden thing.
Yeah.
It's
if
really
you look
wild.
It up, if you look up Aboriginal instrument, you'll
it'll
find
come right
it.
Up. I can't remember
it's
the
like
name
a,
of it.
It's like a big kind of like thing they blow into. It's kind of like a big, like a. Has kind of like a trombone sounds
noises.
Like wah, 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 wah. Yeah, it does like all these like little noises.
And he would like play these little noises and then have us guess what animal he was trying to imitate.
But
just
so...
their lifestyle was so different. And it was really like, I swear to God, that was one of the most eye opening days of my life.
Yeah, sitting
realizing what true
sitting,
happiness is.
Sitting with him was definitely eye opening, because you can just it's like whoa.
Yeah.
There's people that are still like this, and they don't want to change. They don't want what I'm doing.
And
they
feel
want
bad
this.
For us. They feel bad for the rest of the world that is so lost.
Trapped
and so
enslaved.
Confused.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so like, for ourselves, like, God, we have children dying all over the world. People can't raise an eyebrow. Like, it's unbelievable how into our own selves we've become, and all about fighting for your money and your family and securing everything for you. And it's not about teamwork anymore. It's just not like that.
No, and I mean, in the way that the current political atmosphere and the system's set up is, we're more divided and have more walls up than ever. I mean,
by far,
we're so quick to judge each other and so quick to, you know, say you're this, you're that, and not even without even knowing the person, and it's gotten to a really, really bad point, and that's why we have to, in order to survive as a human civilization, we have to evolve and move past these things and really go back to our roots and get rid of these systems that are in place that are dividing us and enslaving us to this
so
money.
So hard, though. How are we going to do that?
How do you do that? Exactly. Not what this podcast is about today, but it's just mind-boggling to think about. Because, so going back to the Rockefellers and the Federal Reserve, which, if you didn't know, the Federal Reserve was founded on December 23rd, 1913. And there's a lot of people that contend that every single note or dollar that is printed by the Federal Reserve is actually property of the Rockefellers. And this is because they are the original founders and owners of the Federal Reserve. and the institution that loans money to the government in order to be given to the people at an interest rate to be paid back to the Rockefellers. So it's like literally we pay interest to the Rockefellers, to the people that control the Federal Reserve, for just giving us money in the first place. It's this, like we were saying before, the system is so fucking, it's a mess.
Flawed.
It's a complete mess, and we're getting completely screwed, and many of us don't even know it. But in 1908, following various financial crises, Congress passed the Aldrich-Vreeland Act to examine banking, and Senate Republican leader Nelson Aldrich led the inquiry, meeting with representatives of prominent banks, including J.P. Morgan, National City Bank of New York, and Kuhn Loeb and Company. And the National City...
Let me guess, those are all controlled by one of these five families.
Watch, yeah. The National City Bank of New York in particular was closely linked to the Rockefellers.
Boom.
But the Rockefellers also did a lot of business with J.P. Morgan.
Yes.
Which also funded Cornelius Vanderbilt's New York Central Railroad. And John D. Rockefeller Jr. was actually married to Aldrich's daughter, Abigail. Which is interesting, because all these elite families intermarry into each other, and they all are very, very intertwined with each other. Which
you never see one of them just like go off to college and meet some average rando.
Some random average
like, oh,
Joe
this
or
chick
something.
I just found, she's from, you know.
Yeah, or like some like college. Different ethnicity. It's always like very like the same elite, you know.
Dude, I
families.
Bet you they make sure they have the same blood type too.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, probably.
But Aldrich's inquiry led to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 and the subsequent establishment of the regional Federal Reserve banks, of which the Federal Reserve Bank of New York was the most powerful. And the Rockefellers were also major shareholders of the Equitable Trust Company, which merged with Chase National Bank in 1930, which everything is clearly quite closely interrelated. And also, many conspiracy theorists point out to the role of the Rockefellers in the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, which was initially founded to handle Germany's World War I reparations, but now fosters international monetary and financial cooperation and serves as a bank for central banks. So Gates Magara, formerly of Chase Manhattan, Chase National Bank, and the Federal Reserve, was its first president. And by the way, Magara's grandson, Richard Magara Helms, was a senior official at the CIA at the time of John F. Kennedy's assassination. Needless to say, the Rockefellers have also been linked vaguely to Kennedy assassination conspiracies.
Yeah, there's actually a decent amount of proof, too.
Because Kennedy talked about the Federal Reserve and talked about the system and talked about how things needed to change and things. And, you know, the power was not with the people. More boldly than really any other leader in American history, I would want to say, I don't know if you agree with me, but I think it is very interesting that the Rockefellers may have an interest in the assassination of Kennedy because they wanted to break up the Federal Reserve and, you know, create a actual like government system that is transparent, you know, that we can see into and understand. So some other things just to note about the Federal Reserve is that it is a private bank and not a government or nationalist one. And it does beg the question as to why the U.S. government gets its money from a private institution. Why? That makes no sense. And a lot of people don't even know that. And the Federal Reserve is accredited with financing all modern wars, which some claim can be attributed to the Rockefeller dynasty. I 100% agree with that.
And financing both sides of the war, too.
Yes, yes. Which is what we talked about, the Rothschilds. J.P. Morgan and the Rothschilds have also been linked to the Federal Reserve, and its ties between the Morgans, Rothschilds, and Rockefellers cannot be denied. And that is 100% fact. There is many connections. They clearly knew each other. They clearly met together. And
it seems like the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and Morgans are like the main three.
Especially when it comes to the financial banking system in the Federal Reserve. Absolutely. They're the main ones. But there's other large families with ties to the Federal Reserve, which include the Lazards of France, the Warburgs of Hamburg, Goldman Sachs of New York, the Seifs of Rome, the Lehmans, and some speculate that up to 90% of the wealth of Fortune 500 companies is owned by these eight families.
Wow.
There's no denying that the wealth equality in this world is so fucking lopsided.
Yeah.
It is not even funny.
Yeah, like, it's ridiculous. It's gross.
Literally, like, the people own, like, a fraction of 1%.
I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, but you look, it goes right back to Egypt. Egypt had their caste system, and that's what the pyramid, you know, represented for them. The few elites at the top, the leader, and it goes down, and everyone has a role, the artisans, the this, the that, whatever. And the lowest and the biggest part of the triangle are the poor people. There always needs to be way more of them than at the top to make that triangle. And we literally still have this symbol on our fucking dollar.
Yeah.
Like a giant slap in the face to us. Like, yeah. Just so you know.
You're at
know
the bottom.
Your place.
Right.
For real.
You're essentially being ruled.
Yep.
We're still under rule by these elite families, it seems.
It's crazy.
And not only that, but this is also interesting. The Rockefellers could literally be responsible for how shitty our public school systems are.
No, they are.
Yeah.
They totally are.
they really are. And this is almost never discussed by the mainstream, and the mainstream never talks about how the Rockefellers are responsible for the awful condition of the public education system.
These poor teachers have no funding. It's so unreal. I have friends that are teachers. I was going to be a teacher. I was in school. I was about to start student teaching.
Yeah.
And looking at what my friends go through, I'm like, I think I made the right choice. It's so sad. The schools are, and especially, you know, some of the more unfortunate areas, you know, where people, kids are just, the conditions are ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
If you're in an urban or
cold,
low-income area,
dirty,
like,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty bad. And, like, I come from a family of educators. My mom is a superintendent. They were teachers. They were principals. Like, I've lived that life with them. And it is hard to be an educator or a teacher these days because the conditions at many schools are terrible. The resources are, they're constantly getting their budgets cut. It's crazy.
Always.
Schools are constantly getting budgets cut.
Just when you think they couldn't do it anymore,
they do. More and more money is being stripped away from them. They're asked to do less, do more with less.
And more kids. There's more kids in each class. You know, the ratio from student to teacher is ridiculous. People are stuck with like 30 kids in their classroom. They're like, what the hell am I supposed to do? I can't teach them.
It's so bad. That, I mean, and any of you, I mean, I can attest to my own experience that I really didn't retain much from school. I mean, it was like you get some basic concepts, but at the end of the day, how much do you really learn and how much do you really attain?
You don't, because school has taught us that it's about filling your brain with knowledge, memorizing things, and then dumping it all. As soon as the test's over and as soon as you get your grade, you're done. Doesn't matter if you actually retained any of that or got anything from it or learned from it, as long as you were able to produce it on the day you were supposed to. That's all that matters. The school system is beyond fucked up, beyond repair at this point. Standardized testing is a joke. I could go on and on about schools because, you know, I had learning disabilities and it was a horrible
We should do a podcast about schools and about the school system.
Yeah,
we could do a whole episode just talking about the state of affairs with the education system.
Yep.
So the reason that the Rockefellers are linked is because many years ago when the public education system was first being set up, there was a lot of money poured into a Rockefeller-created National Education Association with also help from the Carnegie Foundation and later the Ford Foundation, so other very wealthy elite groups. And the result of this and of the efforts of these organizations can clearly be seen worldwide today. And you can clearly see the real purpose of the education system, which is their version of what they want to teach children and young people. And those couple things are, is one, reward comes from accurate memory recall from heavy repetition.
Yes. Because, like, I don't remember anything. If you were to ask me to, like, do a basic trigonometry fact or something, even algebra, I wouldn't even be able to solve for X at this point. I have literally completely removed all of that knowledge from my head. Gone.
Well, that's why it should just be way more tailored to the individual.
Well, weren't we saying too, did you take World Civ or Old Civilizations?
Yeah,
and like, God, I'm so interested in all these ancient civilizations, but I barely remember anything I learned about them in school. But I took a whole semester's worth. And it was one of the hardest classes I ever took.
Yeah. No, I know. They glaze over the good stuff, the like actual true stuff that you need to know about. They give you a very one little quickie version of it, and then they move on.
It's not even the teacher's fault, because they'll get in trouble if they do too much.
Oh, the curriculum.
And there's always those
set
teachers that do a good job and go like a little bit further than they're supposed to. And like,
or show things, yeah. like show videos, yes. or like we'll bring in alternative stuff.
Dude, there's people that are talking about conspiracies. I've had subscribers like message yeah, me like, hey, my history teacher's talking about the JFK conspiracy. Like, this is so crazy. So, I mean, every once in a while in a blue moon, you get, you know, someone who's willing to go deeper. You okay there?
Yeah, sorry. But the other thing that the schools teach right now is non-compliance will be punished. You will be punished for not conforming.
Yes.
If you are different or you try different. To be or try to want to know about something different than what everybody else is learning, you get shut the fuck down. They yep. shut you down and they make you into a bad person. Mm-hmm. And that is so obvious. And not only that, but acceptance that truth and what is real comes from authority. That's also something they hammer into you, is that you accept the truth that is told to you. And basically anybody of authority has, you know, you need to listen to them. And which is just so, it's so obvious that the real purpose of the education system is to cultivate this culture of conformity and prohibit critical thinking about anything of real importance. And that's really what led us down this road and made us want to do this podcast and make videos about this stuff, is because we feel so strongly that the version of the truth that we've been given has a lot of holes in it. It has a lot of issues, and we need to get the facts straight. We yeah. need to look at everything mm-hmm. critically and think about everything in a totally different light, because the truth that you're taught in school is, you know, a partial truth at that, you know, it's a partial truth at that. So continuing on, let's talk a little bit about the Rockefeller family history. So John D. Rockefeller, who we've been talking about, was David Rockefeller's grandfather, who died in 1937, and he was the world's first billionaire. So the rest of the Rockefeller family includes William Rockefeller Sr., which was John Davison Rockefeller's father. And then there's some other Rockefellers as well, some other brothers as well. So let's see. So there's William, there's John D. Rockefeller Jr., and which is who we're talking, or we're talking about David Rockefeller. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ken, I'll have to run off real quick. So John D. Rockefeller III, Nelson Rockefeller, Winthrop Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, which is the main person that we're gonna focus on, because he is probably the most influential of the Rockefeller family. He's responsible for a lot of different things. And the guy looked a little creepy to me, but that might just be me. But he actually just died. And David was the last of John's grandchildren. He was the youngest, but he is the most powerful and favored. And he was actually the CEO of Chase Manhattan Bank at one point. And as one commenter put it, he was so rich and powerful that becoming president of the United States would have been a demotion. David Rockefeller was so powerful and in such a position of influence that being the president would be a downgrade.
Wow.
And he was the CEO of Chase Bank, which is like JP Morgan. Like, clearly the links there, like, clearly there's a reason why he was the CEO of Chase Manhattan Bank. So that's very interesting. But they're one of the most powerful families. They're one of 13 Illuminati bloodlines. And, if you believe in the idea of Illuminati and these different families, then they're one of many.
But, well, there's proof that there really wasn't Illuminati, as yes, we talked about last time. Yes. So it's not just some like bullshit thing people made up.
But a lot of people are saying that these families and, you know, people that try to debunk conspiracy theories are saying that they don't have as much power and influence as they used to, which may be true. Because David Rockefeller, who we're talking about, he recently died a year ago, I think. And so people are saying, well, now that the bad guy's dead, like, you know,
oh, we don't need to worry about it. That is so ignorant, I think. Come on. We need them for everything. These five families, like everyone in this country and in most of the world, relies on these companies.
Yeah.
So, yes, they still have control of us. They still own the Federal fucking Reserve. Anyone who just thinks they just like gave up and went away is like crazy.
Well, that's the thing is that, and it could be an indirect control of these entities now. Like yeah. they may have another family, another person, you know, controlling things at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Rockefeller died March 20th, 2017 at 101 years old.
God.
So going back to David's father, John D. Rockefeller's death, he had assets that total to 1.5% of U.S. GDP, which is a mammoth amount. It's a huge amount. And relative to GDP, this is much more than the current value of Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. So we're talking billions, possibly trillions of dollars. If you talk about 1.5% of the total GDP, that's a huge, huge number.
Yeah, it is.
And again, just like the Rockefellers, they were only reported to have a net worth of $3 billion at the time of David Rockefeller's death. But more speculate that their actual worth is close to the trillions, and they simply prefer to appear less influential than they are.
Yes, because it takes eyes off of you. Like, why would you want everyone to know that you're this powerful? And they've split up their wealth over so many different smaller branches of their family that they don't show up on these like top 10 lists of the richest people in the world. So like they're off the radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. No, it's smart. It's really smart way to do it so that you don't draw suspicion to yourself. I mean, people had to really dig to even find this information.
If they just want to be rich, why wouldn't you go tell everyone? Like, if you want to be rich, you'd think you'd be the type. So that makes me think it's not really about the money and about accumulating wealth. It's control for some deeper reasons that we don't even understand. That's what I believe.
Yeah, yeah, totally. No, I totally agree with you. And a lot of people actually accuse David Rockefeller of being one of the most evil men alive, as well as much more. And apparently, he used organ transplants on the black market to keep his failing body operating. That's a conspiracy theory. That's how he stayed alive so long, as he purchased body parts on the black market to heal himself, essentially, and keep him alive to 101 years old. It's also reported that he's also been reported to have said that he never met a dictator that he disliked, and he worked with Henry Kissinger and President Carter to get the overthrown Shah of Iran into the U.S. to get treated for cancer, which the last Shah of Iran was a terrible dictator that did a lot of fucked up shit, and he essentially put his neck out on the line to help this guy and help him escape Iran. And I just quickly wanted to talk about Henry Kissinger because I don't think a lot, especially younger people of this generation, really understand who he is and how influential he is in history. But Henry Kissinger actually started as Richard Nixon's national security advisor prior to becoming the Secretary of State. So he was fairly powerful in the political system, and he was very closely involved in the war planning during the Vietnam War. Specifically, he was aware and agreed with the bombing of Cambodia. So he's a warmonger, essentially. And President Nixon specifically stated that they were not actively bombing in Cambodia, which borders Vietnam, when they were. Kissinger was fully aware of the bombings at the time. And the whole controversy with Henry Kissinger is that in 1973, Kissinger was given the Nobel Peace Prize for his involvement of the Vietnam Peace Accord. And the accord was ratified, but it never took effect. So it was like a fluke, basically, that he got the Nobel Peace Prize when he was doing the exact opposite.
Weird.
And this all came to head when the Pentagon Papers were released. And if you Google that term, you can find out more. But essentially, secret documents were released to the public, which proved that Nixon not only encouraged the Vietnam War to intensify, but that America did actively bomb Cambodia, a country that borders Vietnam.
Shocking.
But one which America wasn't at war with at all.
Yep.
So...
oh my God.
Pretty interesting. So
knows this. Well, obviously some of us know this, but I feel like the average person that I know, like people in my life, don't know this. And they like, that's why they think all this stuff is crazy, but they haven't seen the evidence. There's actual government documents showing that we are perpetuating war. We clearly make money off war.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, does anyone not believe that at this point? Good God. I believe the Middle East was literally set up to just be a giant perpetual war, so they could just continually...
That's why the military-industrial complex is such a real thing. basically, there's clear evidence that the Rockefellers have close links with J.P. Morgan, the Rothschilds, and many other powerful international families. And David Rockefeller has been deemed to be one of the primary figures for pushing a new world order and a one world government. And again, like we talked about with the Rothschilds could have been very involved with the creation of the Illuminati, if not directly responsible for the creation of that and this idea of creating this new world order. So when we talk about the Rockefellers and the new world order, the Rockefellers have long been associated with this idea of the circle, secret world government, or one world order, a new world order. It's called by many names through institutions such as the Trilateral Commission, which was founded by David Rockefeller to facilitate international economic cooperation, as well as having lots of fancy foreign conferences. So we point to this idea of that they want to create this one, this new world order, because they are creating all of these types of commissions and different types of conferences in order to essentially bring the world together in order to all meet and, you know, create one agenda for everything. And the Rockefellers also attend the Bilderberg conferences every year. And this is an actual quote from David Rockefeller himself. And he said that some even believe the Rockefellers are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, categorizing my family and me as internationalists, conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud from and I'm proud of it. That's a direct quote of him in of his biography.
Oh,
my God. Basically admitting that their goal is to create a new world order or one world central government that they essentially control. So a little back history on the New World Order. So this New World Order conspiracy was first brought to light many years ago through the work of author H.G. Wells in his books, The Open Conspiracy, The Shape of Things to Come, and Blueprints for a World Revolution. And while he did not use the word New World Order, he did mention the coming together of powerful elites to gain power over the masses, and that it would be done under the disguise of integration to benefit all and protect the very people it would end up dominating. And the term New World Order has come into prominence more and more since then. It is actually the term New World Order is actually frequently used by politicians and heavily associated with international agreements, which have the stated aim to promote a new world order of peace and global stability.
If they know that, like so many people out there hear the term New World Order and like freak out and think that it's like, you know, this demonic thing.
Why use that? Yeah, thing? Yeah. It's very really interesting weird. that they do use this.
Yeah.
And it's been used recently.
Very odd.
Many people say that such arrangements are a thinly veiled effort to control international politicians and eventually the world in general, as all decisions will be centralized by with the one world government with one currency, one legal system, one culture, one education system, and one medical regime. And the whole population would be controlled via the elites who pull the strings and remain relatively anonymous.
Wow.
What's also interesting is that there's also links between the Rockefellers and the medical establishment, the media, and educational institutions. So their, you know, their reach is far, much like the Rothschilds. So this is a direct theory about the New World Order. This is a straight conspiracy theory, but conspiracy theorists believe that the goal of this New World Order is to reduce the population of humanity to around 1 billion people.
That's a huge cut.
Which is like, that's a lot, because I think we're at what, like
6 or 7 billion?
See. Yeah, what's the current world population? It's got to be at least like 6 or 7 billion. 7.3 billion to... that's a lot.
We're projected to hit 9.7 billion by 2050. So almost 10 fucking billion people.
Well, that's the thing is like there could really be a problem with overpopulation. And
yeah, and no, there definitely. I mean, at this point, I think there is a problem. It's only going to get worse. I mean, good God, every year it seems like, you know, there's so many people and then they have kids and their kids have kids and it just grows exponentially quicker and quicker, like snowballs. So we're going to get to the point where we like. the Earth's not going to be able
to sustain the number of people.
Well, it could. That's the thing, is it depends on who's in power and what.
Yes.
If we have the free energy of Tesla, we have the, you know, the advanced technology of extraterrestrials, we can all survive on this planet.
Yeah.
And we can go to other planets.
You're right. I didn't even think of that.
It's the overpopulation won't even be an issue.
Right. Because right now we're depending on fossil fuels and things we don't need.
Antiquated technology, all these things. And if the elites and these, you know, families remain in charge, they, in order to keep themselves in control and in charge, it makes sense that they have to deal with overpopulation. And overpopulation in the sense of there's too many people, we can't control that many people. We don't physically have the capability to do that.
But there's also not enough resources if they continue with the
right, with the fossil fuels. Right, we'll run out of oil, we'll run out of all the stuff that they need.
Because I guess, like, I've always thought, God, when I was younger and, like, didn't really understand this, and I'd hear things like, oh, the world's overpopulated. Like, as a kid, I was like, how can it be overpopulated? Like, I'm driving down the road right now with my parents, and there's tons of land, tons of fields. There's plenty of space. So it's not like we don't have physically enough space on the Earth.
No.
So, like, we could probably have 20, 30 billion if we were all using free energy.
Absolutely. Or even just sustainable energy. Solar.
Wind all sources, these solar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
I never really thought about that.
But it does pose a problem for this idea of a new world order to control 7.3 billion people.
Yeah.
Because, they would have to increase available resources. So it would create a lot of issues. But what's interesting is the term New World Order has actually been used by practically all major politicians, including former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, which I remember specifically hearing him say New World Order in a speech of his.
Did he?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you're right. He did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh my God, that's so creepy and weird.
Oh, I know. And then
I think you'd know better than to say that, because that's just going to like set people off.
Well, maybe when you become president, you get brought into the group associated with the New World Order, and they're like, hey, here's the agenda. You know, you either go along with it or you know, you're going to have a rough time.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, that could be what happens. But President Richard Nixon talked about it. Mikhail Gorbachev, former Russian president, talked about it. Roosevelt talked about it. Bush talked about it.
Oh, my God.
Former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair. So, like, all these, you know, powerful politicians have talked about the New World Order openly. But there is now a large number of anti-New World Order groups and establishments, which consists of groups of academics and politicians, in order to warn the public of the actions of the Trilateral Commission, the Council of Foreign Affairs, the Bilderberg Group, as well as any other type of group linked with the New World Order. Now, I wanted to talk briefly about the Trilateral Commission, because this was something that David Rockefeller was directly responsible for. But he established this group called the Trilateral Commission, which is basically, it's a special group, and each of the regions has its own selection process. Candidates must be at least 35 years or younger, and the commission's renewed every 3 years and publishes annual papers. And each year, 4 meetings of the Trilateral Commission take place in various locations. And apparently the initial aim of the original Trilateral Commission was to form an unofficial group of individuals to find solutions to some of the most common problems facing humanity. But whatever its initial aim is now no more than a globalism promotion program, which pushes for more and more integration under a one world government. And many are convinced that the Trilateral Commission is a place where unelected officials meet up and plan global affairs, manipulating the governments and selected industries using their power and influence.
I mean, it makes sense.
So basically same type of thing as, like, you know, Bohemian Grove, Bilderberg, any of these, you know, very secretive meetings that we know a lot of these elite families and individuals attend. And one trilateral related conspiracy is that they sought to reduce the population of New York to 4 million and to put the majority of the world into concentration camps. So pretty crazy, but it is one theory that has come out from this Trilateral Commission. And David Rockefeller is practically always cited as the Cabalist in chief. So he's kind of the mastermind behind this and the global establishments of elites who aim to dominate the world through their various means. And the Trilateral Commission is also accused of having a hand in weather manipulation, plagues, and, of course, the fixing of election campaigns. This is interesting, but President Carter is actually accused of working in tandem with David Rockefeller and the Trilateral Commission, as quite a large number of Trilateral Commission members were drawn from the Carter administration. And many powerful politicians were and are currently members of the Trilateral Commission. And this commission is deemed to be no more than a front for the Council of Foreign Relations, another nefarious organization made up of powerful members of different countries. So this is a very diverse group of individuals that are a part of this Trilateral Commission group. And most of them are private citizens from America and Europe. But this actual commission is membership by invitation only. And David Rockefeller has actually heard about a lot of these conspiracy theories and a lot of these allegations against the Trilateral Commission. And he's responded to many of these allegations by writing to papers and editors. And he states that the truth is much more mundane. He said anyone can subscribe to the quarterly magazine for $10 a year. So he's saying like, yeah, we're transparent. We don't do anything crazy like people are saying, even though we don't actually know exactly what they're doing. And he's denied and said that, you know, there's no say whatsoever in the election of public officials. And it's just made up of many experts from various different fields, which could be true. I mean, I don't know personally whether or not, you know, they're actually, you know, planning the future actions of the New World Order, or like this, you know, pushing this one world government agenda. But it is interesting that it is very similar in its function to the Bilderberg Group and, you know, like other secret groups. So I don't know.
There's so many of these. It's so crazy.
There is. And it is interesting that they do these types of things. And it's like, if you guys want to be transparent, why don't you like live stream it for everybody to see?
Yeah, or like put out like a meeting outline or something.
Well, they do release some stuff, but they don't release everything. So here are some other Rockefeller linked conspiracy theories that I thought were interesting to bring up. And perhaps one of the most popular ones is that David Rockefeller is directly linked to the JFK assassination. And many have said that David Rockefeller actually gave the nod to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Allegedly, J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director, and Lyndon Johnson, and hitman Jack Ruby, as well as Richard Nixon and a number of other deep state personnel elites, met together on November 21st, 1963 to discuss the issue, with Johnson stating that after tomorrow, those goddamn Kennedys will never embarrass me again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it definitely seems like there's some animosity towards the Kennedys from these groups like the Johnsons, the Nixons and things like that. They did not like the Kennedys.
Yeah. Well, they were really trying. I mean, look at it. Like Kennedy, Lincoln. It seems like all the ones that were pushing back against this New World Order bullshit. There's no sympathy for them.
Yeah.
And I mean, JFK really did go far. We talked about it, obviously, in our JFK video, if you haven't seen our podcast on that. But, I mean, he really said some shit that was, like, very about secret societies, outing these control groups. And, yeah, of course they don't like that.
Wanting to break up the Federal Reserve. So major things. Also talking about extraterrestrial UFO type stuff.
God.
So a lot. If he had gone on to do what he set out to do, I mean, imagine the world we'd be in and be completely different.
Wait, this was before the assassination and Jack Ruby was there? I'm so confused.
According to the conspiracy theory.
What the fuck? If that is true, then that is all the evidence.
Coupled with the CIA. I mean, most people believe that the CIA is directly responsible to the assassination of JFK.
That's what I think.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of different theories out there in regard to the assassination of JFK, which we covered in a previous episode. But, I mean, there's really not that much evidence, like hard, concrete evidence to directly link David Rockefeller to being the mastermind behind the JFK assassination. There's just not enough direct evidence to link him to that right now. This was also interesting to me as well. The Rockefellers are responsible for pushing this idea of Darwinism or survival of the fittest. They believe in this heavily. And clearly, it's because they believe in this idea that it is the best that survive, and this makes things better for everybody in the larger scheme of things, as it strengthens the entire system. So if people lost their jobs, then it just means that they were not optimal for the assigned role and can now get a new job where their skill set is better suited. Is this, this to me just sounds like a perfect scheme for a bunch of elite, you know, people to remain at the top, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in a controlled system.
I mean, it all makes sense.
David Rockefeller actually said that morality does not play a role, and there is no such thing as altruism, which is the belief in or practice of disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. So he basically, it's like every man compassion for himself. If you can't survive, yeah, then, you know, too bad.
Then we don't care. Yeah,
exactly. Survival, we don't care about you. Very interesting that he was a promoter of this idea of Darwinism by the elites, and the whole ideology would have, if it hadn't actually been promoted by the Rockefellers and these other elite groups, then the idea of this would have probably been thrown away a long time ago. Because it makes no sense whatsoever. Mm-mm. Another interesting thing is that the Rockefellers did have ties to the medical world. Yeah. And were very, very strongly against alternative medicine and have confirmed ties to Big Pharma. They've been accused of using their donations to medical charities such as the Institute for Medical Research, which is now the Rockefeller University in New York, to promote conventional scientific evidence-based medicine and aid Big Pharma in world domination and crush alternative medicine, including supporting the continued prohibition of marijuana.
It's so ridiculously, it makes me so angry on another level. Like, I can't even believe that. I mean, you guys know I've been struggling with my health issues, and if it wasn't for, you know, medical marijuana and CBD, I'd be in a world of hurt. I'd be really, the cannabis really plant struggling. Is
a miracle medicine.
The fact that they're trying to get rid of that, or like any type of Eastern medicine, acupuncture. I'm surprised, like, my insurance actually offers acupuncture. Very rare. Most insurance won't do that, or anything alternative, any like essential oils or Reiki or anything that's different. They don't want it because that stuff works and people are going to realize it works. This doesn't have the negative side effects on my body that these medications have. And there's other options. People think that the pharmacies have all the answers and all the options. And that's
that there's like a pill problem for every issue. Like every problem there's a pill for.
Go to the doctor and get fixed up.
Just take the pill.
Yep.
And that's because at the top, the elites like the Rockefellers are pushing this idea of Big Pharma. So every, you know, the pharmaceutical companies rule the medical industry and, you know, it's their only goal is to sell prescription medications and to people.
I feel like a lot of people don't even realize like how many politicians on both sides, but I think mainly on the left, Democrat side, there's so much funding by Big Pharma, like as much as the NRA is giving the right. Big Pharma is giving the left and some people.
There's a lot of, there's a lot of hypocrites out there that are like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm for legalization of marijuana. Meanwhile, they're getting huge checks from Big Pharma to,
doing nothing about the opioid epidemic.
Yeah, absolutely not. And now fentanyl is a big problem. Did you see that in Nebraska? They just recovered 115 pounds of fentanyl.
Isn't that like horse tranks?
It's deadly. It's should not be consumed by humans. Is it a horse tranquilizer? I believe it is used in tranquilizers for large animals like that, yes.
Good.
That's why it's so potent for humans. And they, from 115 pounds, investigators have said that it could kill 23 million people. That's how powerful that shit is. So it's like the fact that we shouldn't even, the opioid issue is shouldn't even be an issue. And I think it would go away. I would think it would go away completely, if not almost completely, if natural medications like marijuana, you know, mushrooms, things like that were legalized, so that people could try something natural, something with no side effects, something that could actually help them without having. Yeah.
Imagine the risk if I didn't have, you know, these alternative things to help me cope with my pain and my nausea and all these I'd have to go to pain pills and other medications.
Muscle
and
relaxants.
Get addicted to it, or Xanax. They screw up. They're another side effect with it, or death. God, every commercial for pills these days is like, or death.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Side effects
include. No, it's really ridiculous, though.
Upset stomach, diarrhea, and then possible risk of death. You might die, but most likely
good
not.
Luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. And, you know, having, I personally have a lot of people in my family that I'm close, well, was close to, that ended up extremely addicted to opioids, and it destroyed their lives. I mean, their lives are ruined, and it's because they had, you know, mental illness, they had trouble, they had hardships, and if they just had marijuana to deal with the anxiety, I don't think any of them would have gone that way. You know, they didn't have anything else to help them through difficult times. And that's how most people in this country are, or they're sick.
Well, imagine all the people out there that have anxiety. I think anxiety is like one of the most like
common problems
that people face, and stress, anxiety and stress. And when you look at all these other types of medical issues, what do they start with? Anxiety and stress, you know, like, and doctors even will tell you, like, you know, if you lower your stress, you know, your anxiety won't be as bad, and then maybe you'll feel better or be healthier, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But they don't, you know, they don't give you any valid solutions to handle that stress, handle that anxiety, other than pills. Usually they give you some sort of pill that's going to lower you, but does it really even do much? I mean, it could even be a complete placebo for all we know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, marijuana and cannabis has been directly shown to reduce both of those, just at levels that I don't even think a pill can compete with, honestly.
And you really can't get addicted to the point where you're like withdrawing
from
marijuana.
No, it does not have those addictive effects to it at all.
Yeah, so all of these other side effects of
how many people have overdosed on marijuana?
Zero.
Right. How many people have died from Xanax, from
tons,
all these other medications?
MDMA.
Not MDMA, but...
But yeah, that too.
All of those
drugs, I'm saying, like man-made drugs.
Yeah. I mean, there's no zero overdose from cannabis.
Because it's a plant. It comes out of the goddamn ground. It's like eating mint or anything else, or oregano. It's the same fucking thing. So annoying, like, that we've like been made to feel like it's this horrible drug.
Yeah.
Dude, look at the ingredients in the pills you're taking. Yeah. Like, it's so stupid.
It is stupid.
Plus, it's also been proven to like help your health, to improve your immune system, and helps cancer patients and seizure patients. I mean, it's just like so ridiculous at this point.
Hopefully,
I think we're headed in a chapter.
I think we are too. I think we're going to see a medical revolution in our lifetime.
I do too.
And you know these old families that control everything, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, they all have links to, you know, Big Pharma, and they have links to the war on drugs and supporting politicians, Nixon, who pretty much started the war on drugs. Like, they have direct links to supporting these types of candidates and politicians. But I think we're seeing a shift in, you know, people's thinking about drugs and about these natural medicines that could really have a major effect, a positive effect on people. So very interesting. But one other conspiracy theory, which, please remember, we're talking about conspiracy theories here. This is not confirmed fact. But some people believe that the Rockefellers may have invented the Zika virus as a means to kill people in order to lower the world's population. So this is part of the New World Order theory, because how do you reduce a population from 7 billion to 1 billion? Well, you can do it a couple different ways. You can do it with man-made weapons, but an easier method would probably be to use some sort of virus, or some sort of, you know, like, polio was such a nasty thing back in the day. And, you know, to think what would happen if we didn't eradicate polio or find a vaccine for polio, it would be a totally different world right now, because that's scary shit. Polio is no joke. So the Zika virus is the same kind of thing. It really freaked people out that this virus had the potential of, you know, wiping out a large number of people if it spread. So some people believe that the Rockefellers are actually providing funding to an organization called American Type Culture Collection, which sells biological preparations and offers freeze-dried Zika virus agent to reputable researchers. So that's where this theory came from, is from the fact that they provide funding to the American Type Culture Collection. And they just so happen to sell these biological preparations of freeze-dried Zika virus agent to reputable researchers. But the flip side of that could be, they do that so that they can find a vaccine for it and find a cure for it.
Yeah.
It may not necessarily mean that they're
hard to show proof of that.
Somehow maliciously craft a you know, Zika virus.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if they're really like concerned about population. The easiest way to deal with population is one of two things. One, spread a disease. Two, create weather problems. You know, take out a large group of people. Make it all look natural and uncontrolled. So a virus makes complete sense.
Absolutely. And it would make sense for them to get involved with weather manipulation.
But it's not like that many people died from Zika. Like, a lot did, but not that many on the scale that... So that seems like a little harder to believe for me. But I wouldn't be shocked. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them. The last theory I wanted to talk about was in regards to the World Trade Center, because the Rockefellers are from that area, and they were involved with the building of the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers.
They were.
Because David Rockefeller was the Chase National Bank CEO. Well, and
I believe they owned they own like a ton of insurance companies, if not most insurance companies, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they owned the insurance company. Like they
had financial gain. They made financial gains from the 9/11 attack. So that's what this theory is basically about, is that not only did they own the buildings, but they had the insurance on the buildings, and that the two towers at the World Trade Center, which were destroyed in the 9/11 attacks, they financially benefited from it. But they've also, supposedly they're nicknamed David and Nelson after the Rockefeller brothers. Apparently the Twin Towers were named that.
If you're going to destroy something that's yours, so you'll get the insurance money.
I mean, that could have been the motive, or it could have even, I mean, they are oil tycoons, so it could be like, you know, let's make it look like a terrorist attack from...
Oh, yeah. No, that's clearly what it was. At the Middle end of the Eastern, day, it was getting us all rallied up about fearing the Middle East so that continual war can continue there. I mean, it's like, it's not that hard. When you realize it all, it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. It's so obvious and clear that they have so much to lose by the military industrial complex ending and stopping its rule over the world and its activity around the world, because they have the Rockefeller families and these Rothschilds and all these other elite families have so much to lose from that ending. So they're willing to do whatever it takes to keep that going and to keep that money flowing and the control over the oil, and not allowing, you know, alternative energies to come into play, to not allowing the disclosure of extraterrestrial, you know, all these things. They have there's a clear intention, or, you know, it's so clear that they have the most to lose. Yeah. We have everything to gain, but they're going to lose everything, including control over the world. So, you know, hopefully we can continue this in the direction. And that's why we thought it's important to share this information about these families, so that you can then take the information and think what you want about it. But hopefully it'll make you think about
questioning the official version.
Everything that's going on, and questioning, you know, how your life is somehow could be impacted by what these various families have done, or the way they've set up the system.
Or just looking at like all the things that these five families own, and then realizing how many things you are dependent on them for. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm on a couple medications that I have to be on. I like would die without my medications. Well, I don't think I would actually probably die, but there are a lot of people that are reliant on these medications, the pharmacies, oil. We need them for food, everything. We get our cars, metal, oil, everything. They own everything. Like, we are completely reliant on them.
And that's the biggest thing, is we should not be in a society where the few control the many. The few control everything. Everything is controlled. The media, medicine, everything is controlled by the 1% of the population.
Yeah.
It should not be set up like that. I believe personally we're not meant to live in a society where we're essentially ruled over by one person or one group of people. This should be a collective civilization, a collective society where the people choose how it works, how it runs, how it functions, and not leave it up, you know, not leave it in the hands of the few, especially the wealthy that have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and have infinite power over the world and, you know, how things play out. It obviously a lot has to happen. A lot has to change. And the way that the system was set up is really probably not the way we were meant to live, or, you know, does not benefit the population of, or the majority of people. And that's the goal. I mean, that's what waking up is about. It's waking up to this illusion of the way of the systems that mm-hmm. are in place.
Your idea of what reality is very different.
Totally.
God, I've changed so much. Like, just even since like we met, like when we were 17, I was a completely different person before I knew all this stuff. It's changed my life in ways I can't even describe. I'm sure many of you out there who, you know, already knew this stuff or are fans of our content probably feel the same way. Like, good God, my life has changed since I knew this. Because you can't just go back to living normally after you know, like, all of this crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So no, you can't. You absolutely can't. So, you know, what can you do? You can do what you can do, you know, with the way current things are set up. Support people that believe the same things as you. Support people that are looking out for the greater good of humanity and the greater good of the population versus
making an effort people to spread that, it with as many people as you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure all of you guys out there have told your mom or someone in your life about what we talk about. And that's really good. That's like the best way to you know.
And like, I don't agree with the way the political system's set up, but you know, you can try to support people that are making their primary focus that of the people's and then listening to the people.
Backed by all of these
corporations,
even if they're not the, you know, the automatic right or left candidate, even if there's someone like Jill Stein or someone, I can't even remember who else, whatever, someone like who doesn't Sanders have as much like, of a chance. And, like, don't be Ron afraid Paul to to support people who were told don't have a fucking chance. Like, I'm so sick of people saying that, like, there is no chance of them, of anyone who's not supported by corporations getting in. There's no chance. You might as well not ever think about it or vote for it or fight for it or anything. Just give up now.
And they're right until we start standing up as a population, as a people, and demanding change and demanding we expect more from our system.
Yeah.
It's not working.
I'm not voting for anyone.
Let's make it better for society. And at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We're all the same. We're all the same species. So
sharing the same damn planet.
Right.
I know. God, how different life would be if, imagine if there was multiple species on the planet that were like intelligent as humans. Like, there was the blues and the greens and the birds, or like, you know,
there is.
There literally is.
That's the thing is like,
but here, as imagine soon as if that it was happened, here, right? Maybe we wouldn't be so damn racist if we realized we are all the same. We are literally all the same race with the same beings. We're on a team.
We all have a consciousness. We're all essentially the same at the end of the day. We're all made of matter. We're all made of the universe. There's nothing. There's no differences. Like everything that
chances
you see
are we've
is
all
just
shared
a,
the same souls.
Could
I
be.
Mean, it's really wild to think about, but it's. I feel like we've just lost.
We've lost touch.
We've lost touch.
Our true
we're
selves.
We're disconnected.
And we've been blinded and led astray from the truth. And unfortunately, these families have had a lot to do with it. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and we'll be getting into the Bushes, the DuPonts, and the Morgans.
Yes, we're actually going to come back with a true crime case next week, a really interesting one. But the week after that, we will probably do the Morgans.
The Morgans, yeah, or probably the next play after this, for sure.
Yeah, so look forward to that, people.
Definitely a lot to look forward to. But thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 19 of the Mile Higher Podcast, the Rockefeller Family Conspiracy. We appreciate all your support. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you did, like, subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching it, or subscribe on iTunes if you enjoyed listening to it. But thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. And
we will
stay
see
woke.
You next week. I throw peace in your bodies, can't show